This episode is brought to you by Mightier. Mightier is a biofeedback-based video game platform that teaches kids to emotionally self-regulate. This leads to a significant reduction in meltdowns and parental stress. It's backed by science out of Harvard Medical and Boston Children's and has helped over 100,000 kids. For more information, visit theautismdad.com/mightier. That's theautismdad.com/MIGHTIER and use the code theautismdad22 to save 10%. Welcome to the Autism Dad Podcast. I'm Rob Gorski. As a single dad to three amazing autistic kids, I've been the go-to global resource for autism parenting since 2010. For the past 7 seasons, this podcast has provided parents with education, connection, resources, validation, and hope. This season, you'll hear from parents just like you, as well as my own kids, who will offer their unique perspective on what it's like for them to navigate the world as young autistic people. I'll feature experts from across various relevant fields, from parenting and education to therapies, nutrition, self-care, and more. So join us each week and connect with people who get it. You can subscribe on any one of your favorite podcast listening apps. And for more information, to be a guest, or learn about sponsorship opportunities, please visit theautismdad.link. Welcome back. This week's episode is going to be all about special needs financial planning. And my guest is Britta Kepf, and she is a special needs financial planner with Tranquil Path Financial Planning here in Northeast Ohio. She's here to just sort of introduce special needs financial planning to you guys, because there's a lot of financial planners out there, but there's not many who specifically specialize in navigating this with special needs families, right? And there is a difference. There's a lot of nuance, and there's a lot of things that need to be considered. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do it on sort of a very kind of basic level so that we're not overwhelming you with information. And then we're going to help you connect with more resources should you decide to do that. So thank you very much for taking the time to tune in. I really appreciate it. And I hope you find this helpful. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I really appreciate it. Could you take a second and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about like who you are in your background before we get into educating people about special needs financial planning?
Yeah, so I'm Britta Kepf. I am the owner and financial advisor of Tranquil Path Financial Planning, a firm in Cleveland that specializes in working with families of people with disabilities as well as people with disabilities themselves. My degree is in biomedical humanities, but I decided very quickly that I didn't want to go into medicine or work in the lab. So I decided to go back to school, studied financial planning at University of Akron, and got my certified financial planner designation, and have been working in, as a fee-only financial advisor since 2015.
Okay.
In 2020, I got my chartered special needs consultant designation and started specializing in working with people with disabilities and their families.
Okay. So before we get into this, because I'm going to forget to ask you if I don't ask you right now, when you sort of specified fee only financial planner, can you expand on that just a little bit? Because I'd like to better understand what that is.
So a fee only planner has to do with how someone's paid.
Okay.
So traditionally, financial planning and really investment advice was based on commissions. So someone sold a product and they got a commission back, but the person who was receiving the guidance didn't have to pay anything, which seems great. But they were paying, because maybe a chunk would be taken out of what they paid. They just weren't writing a check.
Okay.
So what fee-only planning does is says, we're not getting a commission. We aren't selling anything. We aren't getting a kickback from that life insurance. We're not getting a kickback from the mutual fund we're selling. We're not getting a percentage of a sale.
Okay.
Instead, we are paid directly by the client. So there's lots of ways to do that. I personally have a complexity-based fee that looks at your assets, your income, and different parts of your plan that might be more complex, may mean that I'm adding more value, but also doing a bit more work, and charge my fee based on that. Other people charge it based on a percentage of assets, and others charge based on hourly. But that's what fee-only planning is. It's more and more popular because it is how we reduce conflicts of interest, because we don't want to be selling products that someone doesn't need and being like, hey, that's the only way I can make money is if I sell you life insurance. Or the only way I can make money is by saying that you need this expensive mutual fund. You don't actually need that mutual fund. Instead, people pay me directly for advice. Yes, it means that they're writing a check, or having money taken out of their account or paying me credit
But there's
card.
No incentive for you to upsell things.
Yes.
In order for, okay.
The only thing I'm selling is my advice.
Okay. Well, that seems fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty passionate about fee-only planning. When I set out to be a financial advisor, I knew, because I was listening to a lot of podcasts on financial planning and finance in general, and I realized that that is the best way to be a financial planner without selling my soul. That was something that I was very concerned. That's why I didn't go into finance to begin with, because I wanted to help people. And I thought that it would meant selling my soul to work with money. But then I realized that I can help people. And so I'm doing whatever I can to make sure that I'm doing it that way. And there are people who make commissions who are amazing financial advisors. I'm not saying that they're bad people.
It's just a path you chose for yourself.
I chose this because I feel like it is more fair and reduces conflict of interest.
Yeah. Well, I totally respect that because it's sort of the same thing. I mean, I'm not a financial advisor, obviously, but with the Autism Dad stuff, I have left a lot of money on the table over the years because I feel like, you know, somebody that approached me about a partnership or something like that. There's integrity and it just doesn't feel right. Right. And so regardless of what the situation is, you're following your heart kind of, and like what you feel is right for you. And you're not saying that other people who go a different path are inherently bad. It's just a path that you chose for yourself. I think that's really cool.
I feel the same way about choosing to serve the disability community. It's, you know, I probably could make a lot more money if I worked with athletes or if I worked with the ultra high net worth, and I could do that. And there are some amazing planners out there who are amazing people who do it that way, make more money than I do. But I want to make sure that I'm doing a helping profession. I want to do good in the world. I don't just want to make rich people richer.
Yeah. I totally respect that. Totally respect that. And I think that that's admirable. You know, I mean, it's, you do what you feel is best for you and how you want to best represent what you're doing and how you want to reach out to people. And I think that's great. So I wasn't sure what the difference was. Yeah. And I know that you specified that when you were introducing yourself. And so I was like, oh, I'll just figure out what that is. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about special needs financial planning. And I want to keep it as sort of simple and accessible as possible, just because I think a lot of times it's really easy for parents to just like almost be turned off even at the subject matter, because there's a lot to it. It feels like it can be overwhelming. You know, it might be hard to understand. There's some learning curve and you have to educate yourself and all that stuff. So if we can just sort of have special needs financial planning kind of 101 kind of overview of what it is and how maybe it's different than like just going to a typical financial planner.
Well, I'd like to first start talking about what I say financial planning is, because in my mind, financial planning covers a lot of things. When people think about financial planning, the first thing that jumps to their mind are probably investments and retirement. Those are the two things that people first seek out a financial advisor for. But it's so much more than that. It's looking at someone's estate plan. It's looking at their insurance. Again, I don't sell insurance, but I still look at it. It's looking at someone's tax planning, how to save money on their taxes over the course of their lifetime. It's all those budgeting, the cash flow, some life planning in there. All these things that touch on money. And when it comes to special needs financial planning, special needs and disability impact all of those. I mean, disability impacts someone's entire life. And that is true about their finances as well. For example, when it comes to taxes, there are deductions that someone might be able to take that help reduce the burden of disability. And there's also, if you're having a trust or leaving money to an heir who really needs it, if we're not talking about an heir who, it would be great if they inherit lots of money so they can retire. We're talking about someone who really needs money for the rest of their life because maybe they can't earn anything or as much. when we're doing that, we want to make sure that we're passing money to those heirs in a way that is tax efficient. And similar with life insurance. You know, life insurance is important for pretty much all of my clients to at least consider. Not all of them need it, but we should at least talk about it. But when it comes to someone who might have a child who will need support for the rest of their lives and will outlive their parents by decades, we need life insurance, especially early on. Sometimes we don't need it later on. Sometimes we do want a whole life policy, but that's part of financial planning in general, but it's really an important part of special needs financial planning. And then there are parts that are more obvious about special needs planning, where it's the benefits, the government benefits, the SSI, SSDI, you know, Medicaid, Medicare, all those different things that most financial planners just don't know that they should know Medicaid or don't even know that SSI exists. So those things play into it. And I know special needs trusts. I talk to my clients about special needs trusts. I'm a lawyer. I work with my clients, lawyers, with my clients to make sure that their estate plan, their special needs legal plan, and their special needs financial plan work together. They don't break each other. And I sometimes will sit in on the meetings to make sure we don't lose anything in the communication between those. And sometimes my clients want me there to act as a bit of a translator because I do know these topics pretty well.
Yeah.
I'm a non-lawyer, so that I can speak to my clients about them later on. And my clients might not think of a question right away for their lawyer. And I might be able to say, hey, what it sounded like the lawyer was saying was, again, not a lawyer, but
you can help sort of, you can help. You're a second set of ears.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a second set of ears with a lot of different specialists for my clients.
Like in the special needs community, a lot of times what we do is we take someone to doctor's appointments with us or to IEP meetings. So not necessarily that they're inherently experts in that particular thing, like an attorney or a doctor or a teacher or whatever, but it's a second set of ears. So so you can have something to fall back on, right? Like you can compare notes, or maybe I took something one way and the other person's like, I don't think that's what they meant. And so you can clarify issues before it becomes a problem, right? So that's a really good idea. That's a very useful thing.
Yeah.
So when I first started looking at financial planning, and most of my life, just not really knowing a whole lot about it, I thought it was basically just stocks, investments, and I mean, I never even considered life insurance at the time, but like, I thought it was a very kind of one-dimensional, very limited kind of thing. But you're right too. When you're talking about, when parents are raising kids with disabilities, there are so many pieces and parts that touch, and can impact one another that if you aren't aware, just navigating SSI, for example, or Medicaid, you know, you have to have, there's asset limitations in order to maintain coverage for things. And if you're not aware of that, you may, you know, you find yourself in a situation where you are overpaid by SSI, which sucks. That's not fun. Or you can endanger coverage for Medicaid, you know? So I think that in and of itself is incredibly helpful, to have that kind of in the background so that you're aware of how all of these pieces and parts play together. And then you mentioned talking about with a lawyer for like estate planning, I think is how you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people, you're covered from both sides. They have the legal aspect covered, you have the financial aspect covered, and then you work together to make sure that one isn't having a negative impact on the other.
Yeah.
That seems to make a lot of sense to me.
And when it comes to the benefits, I think that what I do overlaps a lot with what a special needs attorney will do. But I tend to, just the way I do business personally, I tend to be much more involved and hands-on with my clients than most financial planners are. And so I sometimes see things before they become a problem, before they have to go to the lawyer. And I sometimes will say, hey, we're in our retirement meeting, talk to a lawyer about that. I think it might be something that it's worth spending money for half an hour of a lawyer's time because I don't want it to become an issue. And in 10 years, you have to pay back your SSI or something like that. Yeah. So it's, I'm keeping an eye to make sure that the things that I know just enough to be dangerous about, so I don't tell people what to do, but I know what to tell people to see a lawyer about.
Yeah. So you're basically not, you don't speak to things that are outside of the realm of your expertise is essentially what you're saying,
yeah.
But you know enough to know, okay, I think this, you know, you should probably consider this, maybe talk to your attorney and see what they think about this. So you're just pointing people in the right direction, giving them questions to ask maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense because there are so many times, even like with doctors or any of the millions of things that we have to do with our kids, you can go into these appointments, whether it be with a financial planner or an attorney or doctor of the school, and you think you know exactly what you need to talk about until you get there. And it's like, oh man, I totally, you know, you don't always know the questions that you need to ask. And, you know, it sounds like sort of based on the experience that you have with other families, these are things that have come up. This is something that you might want to just put it on the list of questions to ask your attorney. So when you go in there, you can address this stuff and then you have a path forward rather than finding out down the road that it's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
When you see families, what are some of the common concerns that they come to see you specifically about, if that makes sense?
I would say that when it comes to parents of kids with special needs, the most common time that they come to me is during the transition, because that's when they're starting to go, oh, what is this SSI and how is it different than SSDI? And do I need to worry about Medicaid? And what is this Medicare? Do they get both? Or is it separate? Or is it one or the other? Do I get to pick? They just don't know these things. And they have known that they need to work on it for a while, but it's now something that is right there. And it also usually happens at the same time that they are starting to go, I want to retire someday.
Yeah.
And so those combine to say, you know what, I need to have someone look at things for myself, and I need to have someone look at things for my kid. And I want to make sure that I'm not going to someone who is going to look at one or the other. They're going to look at both together.
Okay. So one of the things that I have noticed with the families that I have spoken with over the years is that special need, well, financial planning period, like planning for retirement, is something that we'll deal with tomorrow, because today we're putting out fires. And then pretty soon 20 years goes by and tomorrow is here, right? And it's, you're kind of under the gun and you're a little bit behind in the planning stages, I guess, if that makes sense. What would you tell somebody who maybe assumes that they're getting started too late, or, well, my kid's already 30 and I'm, you know, 60, it's too late to start planning. Is it ever too late to start?
I wouldn't say so, because let's just take it to the extreme and say someone doesn't start planning until they're 80 and they decide to start doing a little bit of saving. And they don't have much time to save, but hey, they can at least retire a month earlier than they would, you know? So the earlier you start, yes, it's better. And with compounding interest, it is, you know, it is amazing starting early. But I have had people come to me with very little saved at 60. And sure, they're not able to retire at 65 when they're able to claim Social Security, well, 67 now. And when they're able to claim full retirement age, which is when people usually say, oh, I should retire by. But they may be able to retire when they're in their early or mid 70s, if they are aggressive enough in their savings. And maybe by that time, when they are 60, maybe they have fewer expenses. Maybe they are, now that their kids are having the Medicaid, they might be, or they might not need as many therapies. It might just be a less expensive time for them, and they're able to sock money away. I've also had someone come to me where they decided to temporarily get a much higher paying job for a few years, sock tons of money away, which is a bit extreme to me, to have a whole different job for a few years just so that they can earn lots of money. But it worked for them. And, you know, you want to have a plan, but even if it means, you know, starting late means you only can, you know, you still don't get to retire with your peers. That doesn't mean you never get to retire. You can still make a plan, make something that is comfortable for you, and you're able to make things better by planning, even if they're not exactly what you want it to be, or could have been if you started earlier.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing you say is that it's not really ever too late, mm-hmm. because something is better than nothing, mm-hmm. basically. Because I think that's a roadblock that a lot of parents hit, you know, or they feel like, because I know, like in my situation, when you're dealing with benefits like SSI or Medicaid, because insurance won't cover mm-hmm. the things that you needed to cover, you have to walk a very fine line, very, very
yes.
fine line
yes.
that does not allow you to save. It does not allow you to have assets. And you either have to go from, and I've sat down and I figured this out before, and it's something like you have to go from qualifying for those services to making higher six digits
yeah.
or six figures in order to be free of the benefits and be able to offset that cost and be able to like cover insurance and out-of-pocket expenses and everything like that, because it is incredibly expensive. The whole system is broken, but, so, but parents, if no matter where you are on your journey, you have to plan, right? There's going to come a point where tomorrow is here, right? And you have to have something in place. And, you know, if you're worried that it's too late or too soon or whatever the deal is, it doesn't hurt to sit down and talk and you can advise them, you know, what are the next steps? What are your options? And working with what they have, you know, maybe they're not in a place where they can do a whole lot, but can you advise them on how to kind of get started so that they're in a better place to come back and revisit it like a year from then or something like that, mm-hmm. I guess. Is that?
Yeah. So I can, most of the time when I work with clients, I work with them on an ongoing basis, mm-hmm. but when people reach out to me, the first thing that I have them do is tell me a little bit about themselves. And if it doesn't make sense for me to work with them on an ongoing basis, there are some rare situations where I'll do a one meeting, but sometimes even that doesn't make sense for someone where I just don't think that it's worth their money to pay me, because I do need to be paid. And sometimes I'm going to provide much more benefit to them than I'm going to be paid. But if I don't think that's the case, I'll tell them that they shouldn't be my client. But I always do try to send them some resources for either someone to contact or some reading to do or a podcast, something where they can learn about it themselves. And so that when they are ready, they can find someone that we can create a plan together. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, they might be able to create a plan for themselves. But if someone is in a place where they can't save money, there are, you know, things you can do. At the very least, you can say, okay, well, when my kid turns 18, I no longer have these limits, right? I mm-hmm. can have my own assets. Well, I still have to worry about it for them, but they can suddenly earn money. They can have money. And so creating a plan for how to make money, well, you know, when your kid is 18 years old, can be a great way of planning for the future.
So essentially what you're saying is and I just wanted to clarify this, when you're saying that there are some people it just doesn't make sense to work mm-hmm. with them, it's more about they're not in a place to really benefit yeah. from what you're able to do. And mm-hmm. so you would be taking money and they wouldn't be receiving
exactly.
the benefits. I just wanted to clarify to make sure
yeah.
that came out right. So it represents what you were trying to say. Are you limited to Ohio or can you outside of Ohio?
I work with, most of my work is virtual.
Okay.
Even for local clients, I do sometimes meet in person in Independence, Ohio, but mm-hmm. I work virtually with even local clients, and I also work with clients around the country, and I'm happy to do so because maybe they won't be able to find a special needs planner that's good for them locally. And so I'm happy to work with people in other states.
Okay.
Also other parts of Ohio, but definitely also other states.
Awesome. Okay. And I wanted to clarify that because, you know, this is on, you know, the Ohio version of the podcast. So we're talking to people locally, but I mean, people listen to it from everywhere. So you can help them mm-hmm. inside the United States, right?
Yes. I can't work with someone outside the United States.
What is the best way for them to connect with you?
The best way to connect with me is probably through my website, which is tranquilfp.com.
Okay.
On it, there on our contact page, there is a questionnaire that asks questions such as, you know, what you're looking for in a financial planner and whether you have special needs planning. That's one of the big ones. How old you are, how much money you have, how much your income is, and then give us a little bit more information. And with that, I can usually tell if someone is a good fit for the firm and if I am a good fit for them. But even if someone doesn't think that they might be a good fit, I still encourage them to fill it out because one thing that I am very proud that I do is that if someone isn't a good fit for me or I'm not a good fit for them, then I will give them names of other financial planners or other resources that they can go to if I don't think a financial planner makes okay. sense for them. So I know people around the country who also serve the special needs community and am able to give a few names. Whenever I talk to another financial advisor, I say, okay, who are you looking to work with? How are you paid? All that kind of thing. So that when someone reaches out to me and just does not make sense for me to work with them, I'm able to say, yes, but in Chicago, I know a great firm that you can work with.
Okay. Well, I think that's really helpful because even if you can't personally be their financial, like it doesn't make sense for you to be their financial mm-hmm. advisor, if you guys to work together, you're not just kind of leaving them like stranded. You're still helping them with the direction and connecting them mm-hmm. with resources that can be a good place for them to start. So yeah. I think that's great. I will have all of your information in the show notes. So you guys can just click on the little thing for the show notes and there'll be links and social media stuff, whatever you want will all be there. So people can just find you that way. And you'll be able to check out, they'll be featured on the website. There's your dog. There we go. She did really well. We're at the very, very end. That was good. I can hear my kids coming up and down the steps, but nobody came to the door. So I win that one. I never win this one though, just so that you know. My kids are, Emmett, my youngest, is always, always barging in. But thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. I appreciate what you're doing. And I think it's important that we educate parents so that they can make mm-hmm. informed decisions. They know that they have options and you know, they can find a path forward. So thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome.
Before we go, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and for all the support you guys have shown me over the last 7 seasons. I am so grateful and appreciative of each and every one of you. If you have found this useful or you just enjoyed listening, if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever app you're listening to this on or share it with your friends or whatever, it's a great way to support the show. Thank you. I really appreciate it. You guys can reach me at theautismdad.link. That's theautismdad.link. And we'll talk soon. Thanks. Bye.